Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs to order. Let the record reflect. It is 1:45 p.m. on Thursday, May 15th, 2025. Present today are Senator Dunbar, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Yount, myself, Senator Merrick. This afternoon, we will hold second hearings on HB 58 OPA public advocate appointment and SB 185 insurance rebates advertising. We'll also hold first hearings on HB 26 statewide public and community transit plan, Senate Bill 143 municipal school board terms, and SB 192 evacuation designation levels. First, we will hear House Bill 58 OPA public advocate appointment by Representative Fields. We heard this bill on Tuesday and took public testimony and some invited testimony. Representative, if you and your staff, Courtney Owen, would like to come forward and briefly reintroduce your bill. I do not see that we have Mr. Brant McGee online.
Yes. Zach Fields, House District 17. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Courtney Owen, Staff Director Fields.
Again, Zach Fields for the record. Sorry, I had a concurrent bill hearing during the last CRNA hearing on this bill, but I do appreciate the opportunity to present it. Just as a recap, House Bill 58 makes the selection of the Office of the Public Advocate Director the same as the selection for the Public Defender. The Public Defender Agency was created in 1969. The Office of the Public Advocate was created in statute in 1983. As I think you heard from Brant McGee, it was honestly probably an oversight when in 83 the legislature created this department and has a different selection process than the public defender. So if House Bill 58 passes, the Judicial Council will forward a set of nominees to the governor. The governor will pick one. And I think a key protection is that if House Bill 58 passes, the director of the Office of the Public Advocate is subject to removal for cause, not arbitrarily. And that would, again, make it the same as the public defender. The Public Defender Agency and the Office of the Public Advocate both provide legal assistance to indigent Alaskans. Office of the Public Advocate actually has broader authorities, including guardian ad litem. So both of these are important agencies. Having both agencies saves money because it reduces the amount of outside legal work the state has to contract for. So they are efficient agencies, and the selection of their directors, in my view, should be the same. I didn't come up with this idea. This came from a constituent who has worked in OPA. And I want to note this bill is in no way intended as a criticism of Governor Dunleavy or the current director of the Office of Public Advocate, who I like. We both have young kids. This is a forward-looking good governance bill that I think will help protect the independence of the OPA director many administrations into the future.
Thank you, Representative Fields. Mr. McGee was not available at our last hearing, so we didn't hear from him. But any questions or comments on HB 58? Seeing none, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 58, version 34, LS0011/alpha from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Thank you. Is there an objection? Hearing none, HB 58 is moved from committee. We'll take a brief at ease. Call the committee to order at 1:49 p.m. Next up is House Bill 26, Statewide Public and Community Transit Plan by Representative Mina. And today we have her staff, Halen Bankin, with us. Brief at ease. Call the committee to order at 1:51 p.m. Again, we will start with House Bill 26, Statewide Public and Community Transit Plan by Representative Mina. She is currently in a other committee right now, but will be with us shortly. Halen Bankin, her staff is here. If you could place yourself on the record and begin the introduction of your bill.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Halen Bankin, staff to Representative Mina. HB 26 is an act relating to the duties of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and relating to a statewide public and community transit plan. The Alaska DOT and PF stewards the state's transportation system as the lead body in developing the statewide transportation improvement program known as the STIP. HB 26 aims to support and secure accessible transportation options for all Alaskans by improving DOT and PF's public engagement process and broadening the study of transportation options across the state. First, it seeks to improve DOT's public engagement process in the statewide transportation planning by promoting sufficient collaboration with local and regional entities, as is federally required to secure funding. HB 26 will codify this federal requirement by specifying that DOT and PF must coordinate with public, tribal, and community transit programs in their development of Alaska's comprehensive long-range intermodal transportation plan. Second, HB 26 expands DOT and PF's responsibility to study alternative transportation options by including rural and remote areas, expanding its scope from currently only urban areas. Alternative transportation methods such as public transportation are essential for those who do not have a car or cannot drive and provide more options for Alaskans and visitors to move around our state. According to a 2022 DOT and PF report on the economic value of public transit in Alaska, provided as a supplementary document to this bill, transit delivers benefits including increased business sales, less road congestion, less air pollution, and better travel times to Alaska communities. Public transit is often the only transportation option for Alaskans with disabilities, low-income Alaskans, youth, and the elderly. Securing federal funding and improving access to public and community transit is essential to connect all Alaskans to their jobs, schools, healthcare, and communities. HB 26 will improve the annual study, reporting, and development of Alaska's multimodal transportation network.
Thank you very much. Please let the record reflect at 1:52 p.m. we were joined by Representative Mina. Representative, welcome to the committee. Your staff did a fantastic overview. Any comments before we move to invited testimony?
For the record, Genevieve Mina, I represent House District 19, Anchorage neighborhoods of Airport Heights, Mountain View, and Russian Jack. I just wanted to add that this bill was brought forward to us last year by the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, as well as the Alaska Mobility Coalition. This has been a policy priority for their organizations for years, and there are gaps that people with disabilities are facing in terms of having proper access to public transportation. And so we want to make sure that we're codifying what DOT is already doing, but ensuring that people who are really impacted by public transit are part of the conversation for how the state plans transit access moving forward for all communities.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions before invited testimony? Seeing none, we have two invited testifiers for this bill. The first is Patrick Reinhardt, Executive Director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. Welcome to the committee. If you could place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, Patrick Reinhardt, Executive Director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. As discussed earlier, the Governor's Council is one of the founding members of the Alaska Mobility Coalition. I want to thank Chair Merrick and members of the committee for hearing HB 26, and again, thank Representative Mina for bringing it forward to begin with. We provided a letter of support for the legislation, so I won't go into all the details of that, but I just want to point out a few things. So why is public and community transportation in the enabling statute of the Department of Transportation so important, and why do we care? First, having been a disability advocate for 40 years in Alaska, I can tell you that year after year, decade after decade, transportation issues and problems continues to be one of the top issues that people with disabilities talk about and face in their daily lives. And it's the same can be true for seniors as well. Both populations are heavily dependent on public and community transportation or other ways to get around because they do not drive or cannot drive. Our state has a patchwork of public and community transit systems. Some communities like Juneau and Anchorage have pretty robust systems, while others have nothing at all. I tell you, I live here at Anchor Point, and we've been talking about trying to get something going between on the Southern Peninsula, and we have nothing going on except for a few seasonal programs. So here's some examples of what some better planning would do for the state. One of the issues that just came up recently, the Human Services grant application process that the state DOT does. I was told we had 8 applications for the round of funding recently that's supported by the trust and the state. That is one, and I've been a member of the Proposal Evaluation Committee for that program for years. That's one of the programs that really kind of gets small public and community transit systems going. And this is probably the lowest number of applicants for that program in years. And I would say it's the result of multiple things, but one of them is that we're just not planning for it. We're not planning for the needs of the small communities and the rural and remote communities. And as well, it's been difficult to apply for these funds. Not only is it state money, but it's also mixed with some federal money, and it just complicates matters. Small programs have a difficult time applying for those kind of funds, and still we're getting fewer and fewer applications. It's something that I think through better planning with DOT and some input from the community of users that we'll do better at if this is part of their duties and responsibilities. Also recently, DOT had a huge influx of new federal rural transit funds from the infrastructure bill that passed a couple years ago. And millions of new dollars came into the state for rural transit projects. Even after urging from the community to allow new communities to maybe consider planning for a system of their own, instead the department basically distributed the funds that they had, the new funds, to the existing 10 or 11 programs that already get funds. Granted, they all need the funding, but it's a lost opportunity that communities could have applied for a new funding to start their own system. Homer is a good example. We were ready to go with something, and it wasn't made available for a planning fund. So that's another thing that could be taken care of through planning. And then the final thing I'll say is that there hasn't been a transit-related conference in this state for over 10 years. There used to be an annual conference, so you would get all the public transit providers in the big communities and the smaller ones, and more recent, you know, that we have now tribal transit providers, which is relatively new. They get together yearly and exchange information, resources, technical assistance, bring in speakers, bring in vendors that might be selling this equipment that works in Alaska versus stuff that we often get poor equipment that won't work in our winter environment. Having a conference every other year or every few years to kind of do this, I think that's something that could be done with planning in if DOT concentrates on that. So it's important that with this bill that we put this as a responsibility in their statute so that they know that they have to cover it. They do in certain elements all along the way, but it's, you know, they have a lot of things to do, and we just want to make sure that this is that you tell DOT and in the state in general that not everybody drives their own car. There is a huge number of folks that are dependent on public and community transportation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reinhart. We appreciate your testimony today. Our second testifier is Jerry Hope, Government Relations Director for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. Welcome to the committee. If you could place yourself on the record and begin your invited testimony.
Thank you. My name is Jerry Hope. I am the Government Relations Director for Sitka Tribe of Alaska. Do appreciate the time provided, Madam Committee Chair, and also for the bill's sponsor, Representative Mina. HB 26 is something that the Sitka Tribe of Alaska's Tribal Council adopted as part of their legislative priorities this year. And one of the reasons why is because we are an actual operator of public transit here in our little town of Sitka, Alaska. And we have been doing so on the fixed route in particular since 2002. And have been a part and a member of the Alaska Mobility Coalition in that effort to try and get this kind of legislation into statute. So we really do appreciate sincerely this being considered by the committee. One of the things that we've noticed over the years is the challenges of getting public transit recognized within the Alaska DOT and PF. Not because necessarily that they don't want to, but it's not in statute. That's been our stumbling block. And so having it in statute is going to be a critical piece that is going to help immensely. It identifies some things in simple language like including public, comma, tribal, comma, and community transit programs, as well as another quote here I can include in terms of what's in the bill, quote, systems throughout coordination with local governments and tribal entities, unquote. These are really critically important, and we believe with this, it will make an important difference on how we are able to work with the Alaska DOT and PF and also deliver public transit services in our respective communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hope. We appreciate your testimony. Is there any comments or questions from the committee before public testimony? Seeing none, I will open public testimony on House Bill 26. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, is there anyone online? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. Representative Mina, do you have any closing comments?
For the record, Genevieve Mina, House District 19 Representative, to Chair Merrick and members of the committee, I just want to stress the importance of public transportation, not only in our urban areas, but all across the state. And there were many amendments on the House side to help incorporate all the different facets of what public transportation can look like in Alaska, including our ferries, potentially commuter rail, and we want to make sure that we're inclusive of all of our different communities in this state. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions, comments from committee members? I see none. Thank you, Representative and Mr. Mankin. We will take a brief at ease for the next bill. I'll call the committee back to order at 2:04 p.m. Next, we have Senate Bill 143, Municipal School Board Terms, by Senator Yun. Senator, welcome to the committee. If you and your staff, Ryan McKee, would place yourselves on the record, begin your bill presentation.
Thank you, Chair. For the record, I'm Rob Yunt, Senator to Wasilla, Meadow Lakes, and North Lakes in the valley there. So, and this is my Chief of Staff, Ryan McKee.
For the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Senator Yunt.
SB 143, it's a local control issue pertaining to the lengths of school board terms. Right now, local communities are allowed to choose whether they want to do a 3 or 4 year term for assembly members and mayors, but they're not allowed to choose that for school board. It says that they have to do 3 years, so we have changed our school, or pardon me, we've changed our assembly and mayor races to our seats to 4 year terms. And so this would allow us to do the same thing, which would mean we would have no off year elections anymore, would help save us a lot of money in property taxes, and then streamline the process for everybody out there. So, and I'm not sure if other areas in Alaska have done the same thing, but it would just allow the local government to make that decision if they wanted. This would not become, we would not be able to, if we so chose to try to change the four-year terms, we would not be able to do it if we did not go to the voters first and ask their permission. So if put that on the record, it would have to be on a ballot and get approved first.
Thank you, Senator Young. Questions? Seeing none, we have one invited testifier for this bill, George Hayes, the Deputy Borough Manager for the Mat-Su Borough. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of Senate Bill 143. My name is George Hayes, and I'm the Deputy Borough Manager for the Mat-Su Borough, and I'm providing testimony in support of the borough. SB 143 proposes a simple but significant change. It allows for the governing body of a municipality by ordinance to alter the terms of office for municipal school board members. Now, we support this bill because it strengthens local control, promotes flexibility, and allows municipalities like ours to tailor governance to our community. State laws allow municipalities to amend the terms for mayors and assembly. In recent years, our borough assembly adjusted the terms to 4 years for our mayor and assembly, and our borough election coincides with state and federal elections in November now. With the four-year school board terms, we would have elections on even years with them, greatly enhancing our voter turnout. We'd like to quickly outline three reasons why SB 143 matters for local governments. Number one, this would significantly enhance local control. Alaska's municipalities, as you know, vary greatly in population, geography, and local priorities. SB 143 acknowledges this diversity by giving local governing bodies the authority to set school board terms that will align with local needs and electoral cycles. Number two, this really supports community engagement. In some cases, adjusting term lengths may improve voter turnout, and we think it really would. It would streamline elections and or increase the interest in school board service. Number three, this also promotes administrative efficiencies. Aligning school board terms with other local election schedules can reduce costs and administrative burdens significantly, creating more efficient government operations. It's important to note that SB 43 does not mandate changes. It simply gives municipalities the option. Any changes made under this legislation will still be subject to local ordinance processes, which include public input, transparency, and accountability. We urge your support for SB 143. By trusting municipalities to make these decisions for ourselves, the state of Alaska reinforces the value of local governments and empowers communities to build stronger, more responsive institutions. Thank you for considering our testimony and for your continued commitment to policies supporting local leadership and community-centered decision-making. Subject to your questions, that concludes my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. We appreciate you calling in. I see no questions from the committee. With that, we will move to public testimony. I will open public testimony on this Senate Bill 143. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Is there anyone online? Seeing no one in the room or online, I will close public testimony. Senator Yount, any closing comments?
Yeah, for the record, Senator Yount from Wasilla. Where this was born from was we've seen a turnout on odd years of somewhere from like 9 to 14%. And then last year on an even year, we were at 48% turnout. So it makes it a lot easier for local residents. I think if it's on an even year, they have more reason to show up if there's other seats to vote for as well. So 3 to 4 times more voter turnout, I think, is a good thing. And then it would help us save a lot of money by not having elections in odd years. And so that was where it's born from. So I'm open to any ideas or comments or questions if anyone has them. So.
Thank you. Anything from the committee? Seeing none, we will set this bill aside for further consideration and take a brief at ease. Call the committee to order at 2:11 p.m. Next is Senate Bill 185, Insurance Rebates Advertising, by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, which we all sit on. We heard this bill on Tuesday and took invited testimony. Staff, Savea Bieber, is here to present the bill. If you could give us a brief recap, and then we'll take public testimony.
Thank you, Chair Merrick and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Savea Bieber, staff to Senator Bjorkman. Thank you for hearing SB 185 again today. Senate Bill 185 updates Alaska's insurance statutes to add consumer protections and provide clarity and flexibility around allowable business practices. This legislation modernizes Alaska's anti-rebating laws by clearly defining exceptions for value-added services, wellness incentives, educational tools, and low-value promotional gifts. SB 185 aligns Alaska with national insurance standards, adding the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act to the list of federal laws, the Trade Practices and Frauds chapter in statute. This promotes innovation, supports consumer engagement, and levels the playing field for insurers operating in multiple states.
Thank you, Ms. Bieber. Questions or comments from the committee? Seeing none, I will open public testimony on Senate Bill 185. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Is there anyone online? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. With seeing no further discussion, Mr. Vice Chair.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 185, version 34, LS0721/November from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Do I hear an objection? Hearing none, Senate Bill 185 is moved from committee. We'll take a brief at ease. I will call the committee back to order at 2:15 p.m. Finally, we have Senate Bill 192, Evacuation Designation Levels by Senator Bjorkman. His staff, Savea Bieber, is with him. Welcome, Senator Bjorkman, to the committee. If you could place yourself on the record and begin the presentation of your bill.
Thank you very much, Chair Merrick and members of the esteemed Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Senator Jesse Bjorkman, and I represent the northern and central portions of the Kenai Peninsula. Senate Bill 192 was introduced at the request of emergency managers from around the state for the purpose of clarifying and putting into place a uniform standard of emergency communication and evacuation statewide that Alaskans can understand, and so that they will know what they need to do when danger is close and evacuation may be necessary. With us to present more information on this system, entitled Ready, Set, Go, is the amazing Ms. Brenda Ahlberg with the Kenai Peninsula Borough. She will provide a most excellent explanation, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Bjorkman. Ms. Ahlberg, welcome to the committee. If you could place yourself on the record and begin your presentation. Ready, set, go.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Brenda Ahlberg. I'm the emergency manager for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. And today I'm speaking on behalf of the Alaska Emergency Managers Association with regards to our Ready, Set, Go program. This program, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and take my camera offline so that I have a better bandwidth for you. And just to introduce our program with regards to statewide representation, this came out of several years of understanding the importance of unified messaging. As we go into each one of these slides, I just wanted to preface that the products that you see are from the Kenai Peninsula Borough's Ready, Set, Go program, and these products are available to other jurisdictions, which to date we have shared with five other municipalities across the state. By no means am trying to impose them on jurisdictions as something mandatory. I wanted to make that clear. But what we have done as an organization is agreed of the importance of standardized evacuation messaging across the state, because particularly during wildfire season, when there's multiple fires on the landscape, we want to ensure that the same type of messaging, the same type of standardized mapping is conveyed to the public. Next slide, please. The program is designed in three levels, level one being ready, in which all of us should always be in a state of ready. Living in the state of Alaska, we certainly understand the importance of having ourselves in a ready state, whether it's winter or whether it's wildfire season or other emergencies or disasters that may come our way. With regards to being ready, one of the things that I recognize is that our state is resilient. We are, as well as independent, we also like to help each other. One of the most vulnerable populations that we have are those that are new to our state, that don't understand the challenges of living in our great state when it comes to natural disasters. So this program goes beyond just wildfire designations, but also preparedness and outreach. Next slide, please. The level two get set, which is designated in yellow, lets folks know that there is not only imminent danger in their area, but gives them the opportunity to leave during this time, particularly for those individuals who have mobility issues or may have livestock or large recreational vehicles that need to be moved or mobilized sooner than during level two go. And a lot of times what we have found is about 50% of the population will elect to leave during this time frame for that very reason, prior to being advised to do so. Next slide, please. Level three is go, where the slide says or suggests to take the please out of messaging. This is because it's urgent. We've since hopefully done our due diligence through outreach and preparedness venues to ensure the importance of not only being in that ready state, but potentially leaving at that set stage, but now during level three go, there are no choices. We're asking people to leave. Now, currently we know that in the state of Alaska, this is elected. We can't tell people to leave, but we most certainly urge folks to leave and evacuated to leave dangerous areas. Next slide, please. So we're going to talk a little bit about management action points as it relates to operational maps. And I think this is where it will hopefully lend the understanding of why this bill is so important to standardizing evacuation maps and messaging. Next slide, please. So when I have done this presentation in venues, not only for first responders, but also for the general public, I have asked the question, which areas need to be evacuated? And ultimately, everyone has said the red areas folks need to stay away from. This is the clear fire that was in the Denali Borough, in which they chose to use the color green to indicate closed areas. There lent a lot of confusion to this during that time frame. And while I cannot speak on behalf of the emergency manager for this jurisdiction, I do have his support that he did learn a lot about why it was so important that red should have been used to indicate closed or evacuated areas. Next slide, please. This is an example or examples of other jurisdictions in the lower 48, predominantly Pacific Northwest, where closed areas are defined in red. They also use the Ready, Set, Go program, by which level one is green, being in that state of ready. Level two, the set stage, that folks can either leave during this time or know that imminent danger is likely to be coming in their area. And then, of course, red, go, being closed. Next slide, please. Here's examples of Alaska evacuations, historical from 2019 to last fire season, where all of us, you can see, started creating unified mapping and messaging indicating closed areas in red, which ended up being a very successful campaign across the landscape. Next slide, please. The other thing that's beneficial to having the unified mapping and messaging is that we also have the operational responsibility of reentry, in which a neighborhood could be partially reentered but yet still closed, or because of utilities or roadways that are still closed, certain portions of the neighborhood would not be accessible. So herein lies a good example of where still red is closed and green is open. The other benefit that's helpful for repopulation, where we are allowing folks to now stay in their home, not being able to just go in and out temporarily, but actually re-entering and populating an area, is that it allows a common operating picture from response to repopulation with our agency partners. We're all saying the same thing. Next slide, please. The examples that I shared with you are from the Kenai Peninsula Borough's products. If you scan the QR code, you're more than welcome to visit our info.kpb.us hub site that not only presents all of our Ready, Set, Go content, but it has also been designed so that any other jurisdiction across the state is more than welcome to use the products that we designed. And Madam Chair, I would stand for any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Ahlberg. We appreciate your presentation. Questions from the committee? Seeing none, we will move to public testimony. I'm opening public testimony on Senate Bill 192. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, it looks like online we have Michelle Weston, the fire chief with the Girdwood Fire and Rescue. Ms. Weston, if you could place yourself on the record and begin your public testimony.
Hi, good afternoon. afternoon. My name is Michelle Weston. I'm the fire chief with Girded Fire and Rescue, also serving as a liaison officer with the Alaska Incident Management Team. And on that role, I coordinate evacuations with local governments and incident management teams. Besides Alaska, I've participated in active evacuations and planning in 6 Lower 48 states and one province. I want to lend my support to this important legislation. Having clear language and evacuate really sets our state up for success, not only from the perspective as a first responder, but also for the public. Especially in Girdwood, we have a lot of tourists moving through our area. We also have a lot of Indians that are moving through our area for recreation. We have different jurisdictions in Alaska that have different colors and different vehicles, causes confusion for recreate or a visit part of the state. So having one clear legislation, I think, is important. Ms. Burks gave a great presentation. There's nothing more I could add to that. And just thank you for considering this legislation.
Thank you, Chief Weston. I see no questions from the committee. Is there anyone else in the room or online wishing to testify? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. Anything further from the committee? Seeing nothing, Senator Bjorkman, any closing comments?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I appreciate the committee's consideration of this unifying message to be able to alert Alaskans when it is time to leave in the event of a fire or other national disaster hazard.
Thank you, Senator Yorkman and Ms. Weber. We appreciate you being here today. That concludes our agenda for this afternoon. We will adjourn at 2:27 p.m.